Are you in Revelation chapter 20? Revelation chapter 19, Jesus comes back to planet Earth and all of us with him. Those of us who were raptured at the church, at the rapture of the church, these bodies put on incorruptible, says 1 Corinthians 15. No more receding hairlines or need for bifocals or any of that. Brand new bodies that are designed to function in the multidimensional place where God lives. Jesus got the first prototype, resurrected body. The church will get the next. We're with the Lord in heaven for 7-year tribulation, and we come down Revelation 19. Woo, let's pick up the story, chapter 20. Chapter 20, verse 1. Then John says, I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having a key to the bottomless pit. That's the abuso. You can read about that in Luke chapter 16. The bottomless pit, the abuso, and a great chain was in his hand. And he, this mighty angel, laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan. Are we pretty clear who we're talking about? And bound him for 1,000 years. Now, you and I both know that lots of people think lots of stuff about end times Bible prophecy. I'm going to show you some reasons why I believe the Bible is exactly correct. And when the Bible says that the millennial reign of Christ will be 1,000 years, I'm going to believe it's going to be for 1,000 years. And I'll show you why. Verse 3. And he cast him, the devil, into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more until the what? Yeah, I believe it's 1,000 years. We're finished. But after these things, or these 1,000 years, he, Lucifer, must be released for a little while. So for 1,000 years, no demonic spiritual warfare on planet Earth. How many of you would like, oh, maybe 24 seconds of that? All right, verse 4, let's keep on. And then I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them. We'll go into this in depth when we do Revelation. This is the church. And judgment was committed to them. And then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus in the millennial reign. These are what's called, in the great tribulation. And these 7 years, these are what are called tribulation saints. They became Christians, but they got their head lopped off, many of them, because of it. Those witnesses to Jesus for the word of God who had not worshipped the beast, that would be the Antichrist, nor his image. The Antichrist sets up a statue of himself in the Holy of Holies of a rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. The first temple built by Solomon was destroyed by King Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians. They go away for 70 years of exile. They come back. They rebuild a smallish one under Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Nehemiah. You can read about it in those books. Herod comes along and expands it into one of the wonders of the ancient world. That second temple is the one Jesus visited. That's destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. Is there a third temple coming? Yes, 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 yes. But who's going to get it done? Who's going to wade through all the red tape? The Antichrist will. And the people of Israel will be so overwhelmed. Wow, how did you do that? That they believe that that guy is their Messiah. Remember on Palm Sunday, they rejected the real Messiah, Jesus. You're not our Messiah. And Jesus stopped the whole parade and he wept, oh, Jerusalem. And Jesus prophesied the Romans destroying the city, which they did. So the third temple is going to be built by the Antichrist. And the Jews are going to be so over the moon, they're going to say, you're totally our Messiah. Well, that Antichrist makes a deal with the people of Israel for guess how long? 1 week or 1 7-year period. So for the first half of that great tribulation, the Jews are all, we got a temple, our third temple, and everything's hunky-dory. Until halfway in between, about 3.5 years in, Antichrist changes his mind. And he says, you're going to worship me now. So that's when the Antichrist puts a statue of himself in the Holy of Holies of that third temple and says, if anyone doesn't worship me, off with their head. Remember how we say always, I sit on Wednesday a lot. But Bible prophecy in your Bible always has a near fulfillment and a far fulfillment. There is no other religious work or philosophical foundation that has fulfilled Bible, or I should say fulfilled prophecy like your Bible. You need to know that. Thousands of specific kinds of predictions of the future that keep coming true right on the button. And when God gives you a prophecy, always remember there's usually a near fulfillment. Call that a dress rehearsal. So that when the far fulfillment happens, you'll go, oh, we know this. Did you know that there was a dude who came to Israel and he said, I'm going to put a statue of Zeus in your Holy of Holies. He was a Greek fella, Antiochus IV. And he did that. And that was so shocking to the Jewish people in 167 BC that they called that horrible day the abomination that causes desolation. That was a dress rehearsal for the Antichrist, who's going to do it again. When he does and puts that statue in the Holy of Holies of that third temple, that's going to go right over the head of people who don't know their Bible. But those who do, they're going to go, oh, that's the abomination of desolation that Jesus was referring to. And they would be correct. At that midpoint of the Great Tribulation, that's when the Jews go, oh my goodness, you're not our Messiah after all. And then the Bible says the blindness in part of Israel is pulled off. It went on to them the day they rejected Jesus on Palm Sunday. Blindness in part. What does that mean? As a nation, Israel will not embrace Jesus as Messiah. But individual Jewish people can, of course, get saved, and many have. So the blindness in part comes off, and as a nation, Israel goes, ding, Jesus is our Messiah. Your Bible tells you all about that. And in Zechariah chapter 12, the Bible says, Zechariah, Old Testament, hundreds of years before Jesus was born, God Jehovah, the voice of the burning bush, says, thus says the Lord, capital L, capital O-R-N-D, Jehovah God, they, Israel, will look upon me whom they pierced. Question, when was Jehovah God pierced? When he zipped up a human suit and he died on a cross. That's in your Old Testament. And as a nation, they're all, so we get it now. And then chapter 12 of Zechariah describes a top to bottom, king to pauper, complete conversion of the entire nation of Israel, crying out, says Micah chapter 2, oh Jesus, we are so sorry we missed it. And Jesus in heaven hears their cry and answers them in Revelation chapter 12. But all that aside, let's get back to our study here. Revelation chapter 20, please. Let's go back to verse 4. And then I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was committed to them. That's the church. Then I saw souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, and who had not worshipped the beast, the Antichrist, or his image, that thing he stuck into the Holy of Holies. Oh, I was going to say, can you remember any time in your Old Testament when a awful king demanded that everybody fall down and worship when the band plays? There was a great big statue. You worship that when the band plays. If you don't play to the music, don't dance to the music, don't bow down to the music, off with your head. Nebuchadnezzar did that. That was a near fulfillment. Here is your far fulfillment. These believers paid for their faith with their own lives. And God says that is something that will not go unnoticed. They did not receive the mark in their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for how long again? Do you think the Bible's trying to tell you something? There are people that say, well, it's not like a real literal 1,000 years. Can I say with great respect? Baloney, from the Greek word, balonios. verse 5. And then the rest of the dead, this would be your Old Testament saints. They are disembodied spirits in heaven currently, but at the end of the Great Tribulation, when this happens, Lucifer is bound, the 1,000-year reign of Jesus the Messiah, the millennial reign is about to begin. We have a new body, the church. The tribulation saints have a new body. And guess who else? David and Moses and anyone in the Old Testament who was a believer, who took what God, what faith God gave them and believed God for it, they get a new body too. Now watch what happens. Verse 5, then the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. That's not a good resurrection you want to be a part of. This is the first resurrection. Jesus, the church, Old Testament saints, and tribulation saints. That's your first resurrection. Verse 6. Blessed and holy are those who have a part in the first resurrection, over which the second death, that's judgment day, has no power. But they shall be priests with God and of Christ and shall reign with him for, is that a fourth time? Yeah. How long again, Harvest? 1,000 years. All right. I want to show you something. Why is it 1,000 years? Go ahead, Chris. Steve and his slides. I hope you don't mind. There you go. There's all eternity past and all eternity future. And Steve put it on a slide for you. You're very welcome. Eternity past, that's really in front of Genesis 1, verse 1. We don't have a lot of information about that. And then the New Jerusalem and following, what happens a billion millennia from then? Not a whole lot of information on that, but in between is what we've got to pay our attention to. I want to show you something. How many of you know that 7 is God's number of completion? Yeah, how many continents on the planet? You know, how many seas in the ocean? It goes on. So many 7s in creation. How many days in a week, you guys? 7. 7 plus 1, 8 is always the number of new beginnings, etc. Would it surprise you that God throws another 7 in the mix? Let's go ahead. Go, Chris. I want to show you something called dispensations. I want to show you something that God, in his number 7 thing, it's not a surprise that God has given humans 7 different opportunities, a.k.a. dispensations, say the theologians, to thrive and see how the humans do it themselves. Oh, here's what I'm talking about. Each opportunity or each one of these 7 dispensations, I want you to notice God always gives the humans a condition. In other words, here's the rule. Do this and don't do that. Then you're going to see how the humans responded. I'll give you a hint. They blew it every time. And the result. This may help you understand sort of how your history lays out. Let's get started. Number 1, go. Here is the very first dispensation or opportunity. It's been termed the dispensation of innocence. Go. Well, what is that? Well, see, man was created innocent. And did you know that Adam and Eve, before they ate of the tree, they had not even an ability to think of anything sinful? How many of you would like that for a little while? It was set in the perfect environment. Nothing died. And there was perfection. No mosquitoes. Likely no zucchini. I hate zucchini. That's probably not even there. But everything was perfect. But there was a condition, wasn't there? By the way, Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day. There was deep, full relationship with God and each other. Adam and Eve, they were naked and felt no shame. What a description of intimacy, connection, and belonging. How perfect is that? How many of you would like to stay in that for a while? Well, remember, there's a condition. God said what? There was only one rule. Don't eat of that tree. What's the tree? The knowledge of good and evil. Because the day you eat, you will surely die. Now remember, die in the understanding of God is not a ceasing, and we never see you again. Please understand that the biblical definition of death is separation. Well, yeah, I've always wondered about that. God created Adam and Eve, and the day you eat, you'll die. Well, they ate, munch, and they didn't fall over. Ha! You know, Bible's wrong. No, you have to understand what the Bible means. When they ate, did they become separated from walking with God in the cool of the day? That's right. So the condition was, don't eat of the tree. What was the response? Munch. Result? Expulsion. And all their relationships. Remember, that was the first marital spat soon after that. Remember how it went? Adam, I'm so naked. Eve, I'm more nakeder than you. Oh, yeah? I'm more nakeder than you. God, whoa. Who told you were naked? Did you eat of the fruit? Now, that's not an information gathering question. Adam, this was an opportunity for Adam to fess up, to take responsibility. Did you eat of the tree I told you not to? What's the only real answer? Yes. Do you remember Adam's response? The woman that you gave me, just saying. Oh, dude, the deflection of responsibility. There's your first marital spat. It happened after the ability to think of evil for the first time, and the very first thought that originated in now fallen human brains is self. And that beautiful spouse that they had enjoyed such beautiful communion together and intimacy, now, she's the reason I'm not whatever. He's the reason that I'm not whatever. Husbands and wife, that never happens in marital discussions today, does it? All right. Well, what happens? Let's go to our next one. Here's the second dispensation. Go ahead. And it is conscience. This is also called go. The Adamic for Adam covenant, and you can read about that in Genesis 3. Now humans have an experiential knowledge of good and evil. For the first time, they got to make a choice. And there's the devil. I got him now. The devil usually doesn't grab your hand, make you grasp a bottle or whatever your addiction is, and chug it on down. We do that. Lucifer, as a rule, does not take control of our facility, and we then, the devil made me do it, said Flip Wilson. Well, not really. He suggested ABC, and your sinful nature went, yeah. Or better yet, oh, yeah. That's how we like our sin. Experiential knowledge of good and evil, the humans are now accountable. Death has arrived, and it is ruining the creation. Relationship with God now only comes through animal sacrifice. What's the condition in this next dispensation? That would be Cain and Abel, etc., etc. Condition, do what is right and flee what is wrong. How did that end up? It ended up right near Genesis chapter 6 when, quote, every intent of the thoughts in the heart was only evil continually. What was the result? I got to scrub the earth. There's another little sort of wild card in this, why God had to close down this dispensation with a flood. Humans were so open to the fallen angels in the form of demons that they somehow had relations with them, and the women somehow became pregnant and gave birth to a race that is very bizarre. They're called the Nephilim. We don't know a lot about them, but they were giants. Won't go into all of that, but they were so terrible if you see the work of the devil. Didn't God promise to crush Lucifer's head because of the seed of the woman? Mm-hmm. The devil heard that. So what did the devil try to do? Corrupt the genetics or the seed of the woman. And by the time you get to Noah, it seems that there were very few humans that had a clean bloodline, if you will, genetic path, because Lucifer had tried to corrupt it all. That's why the Bible says that Noah was perfect in his generations. He hadn't been corrupted. And why did God have to scrub the earth of anything that breathed air, except if you were a whale? Because God had to start over with a genetic sort of seed. So that's that second one. Number three, go. This is the third opportunity. Now let's give the humans a chance to do it by themselves with human government. It's also called the Noah Covenant when they climbed off of the ark. Go. This is the man responsible for the governing of the creation. And God has to do something. I have to give you the power of capital punishment. Why? Because he had to dissuade the rampant murder that was going on. How do humans do governing themselves? Some nations do it a little bit better than others, but by and large, here's what happens. Lawlessness, to the point when people were killing other people at an alarming rate. What was the condition? You have to have righteous leaders. Their job, lead people to God. What was the response? You had a dude named Nimrod. What did he build? Tower of Babel. What was the result? Look what the humans can do when they put their wits together. Not glorify me, but run after the occult. Because that's what the Tower of Babel was. It was an astrology center. So God says, I'm going to confound the languages. By the way, how many of you have apps on your phone or your computer? You hit the button, you speak whatever into English, and it comes out whatever language, Japanese, Chinese, Spanish, or French. How many of you have that? Do you notice that the enemy is reversing the confounding of the languages? Has been for some time. What are the humans doing when they can all get their sciences and databases and languages together? They're doing things like cloning and worse. Oh, and don't forget this too, artificial intelligence. How many of you are a little sort of wincing at the potentials of artificial intelligence? Where could it lead? God is going to have to put a stop to it once before in Babylon. He'll have to do it again. And isn't that interesting? Jesus, one of the signs of the end times, as it was in the days of Noah. Fascinating. Let's go to number four. Go ahead. This is the fourth dispensation, the fourth opportunity for humans to get it right. It's called promise. Go. Also known as the Abrahamic Covenant. You can read about that in Genesis 12. All nations will be blessed by you, meaning Messiah is going to come through your lineage, and Messiah is going to be the Savior. We know that, of course, to be Jesus. God's will and character is demonstrated by and through Israel. How many of you have heard that Israel is God's chosen people? And if you're an actual Jewish person, often, man, I wonder if he'd choose someone else. Why? Because God loves them more? No. He's saying, hey, world, watch this group of people. When they obey my Bible, they are blessed and protected supernaturally. But when they go away from my word and follow their own hearts, I have to judge them, and the whole world has to see my character of covering obedience and responsibility and judging rebellion and willfulness. That's why they're God's chosen people. So here we go, Abraham promise. God's will and character is going to be demonstrated by and through Israel. That's why the promised land, you guys, Israel, is inexorably connected to these promises. That's why after they came back in 1948, the Bible promises that they will never be uprooted again. Why? Because all of God's promises are tied to the land. And does it make sense now why the rest of the world is hammering on Netanyahu and every leader in front of him? You've got to give up your land for peace. What does God think about that? No, don't do it. Well, the land forfeited or would be forfeited if they were disobedient, said so, Deuteronomy 28, and that's what happened. They go 70 years of exile and they come back. We're so sorry, Lord. God gives them another shot. Then God himself zips up a human suit, shows up on Palm Sunday on the Mount of Olives and about 1,000 other fulfilled Bible prophecies. I'm here. And Israel does what? No. And they reject him. And that's why they were taken out of the land in what's called the dispersion or the diaspora until 1948. What was the condition? Believe and receive the seed, Messiah. Palm Sunday, they didn't. Response, Israel rejects Messiah and will do so until the last half of the Great Tribulation, which I showed you. That's at the midpoint of the 70th week of Daniel, or the 7 years of the book of Revelation. First 3.5 years, they get their third temple and everything's cool, until at the midpoint, the Antichrist says, you're going to worship me now, and puts a statue in the Holy of Holies. That's when Israel goes, oh no, you're not our Messiah. Ding, God pulls off blindness in part. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. And on that day, they, Israel, will look upon me, Jehovah God, whom they pierced. And boy, will they be repentant. From that time on, God is going to move powerfully through the nation of Israel. The result is Zechariah 12, verse 10. The church is going to have to lead the nations to Messiah until they're taken out. Israel repents in the midst of the Great Tribulation. They are restored to their full duties in the thousand-year reign of Messiah. That's at the point that the book of Zechariah says, in the millennial reign, human Israel, there will be 10 people who are going to grab the sleeve of one Jewish guy. You know the Messiah. Teach me, tell me, encourage me about him. That's in the millennial reign of Christ. Let's go to our next one. What about the fifth opportunity, the fifth dispensation? That is, go the law. That's Moses on Mount Sinai, 613 do's and don'ts. Go. This is the Mosaic covenant, and here God strictly prescribes exactly how to worship him. What's the condition? Keep the law, and if you mess them up, go to that tabernacle and offer a sacrifice. And that's why animal sacrifices, it seems brutal to us, but you have to think what God is trying to say. First of all, killing the animal was they did it in a very humane way. They poked the jugular vein of the animal, and the animal would just lose blood pressure and go to sleep. But what is this whole thing about innocent blood shed for my sin? That was being acted out for 1,500 years before Jesus is dying on a what? His innocent blood flowing. Every Jewish person should have went, I get it. That's what the animal sacrifices were. Near fulfillment. The far fulfillment of innocent blood shed for my sin is going to be Jesus. What was the response? Well, they kind of slipped into mindless religion and legalism, and they got pretty stinky. And of course, rampant idolatry. What was the result? God had to dispossess them of the promised land, and that's why the Jews have not been in Israel until 1948. What's number six? Go. The sixth dispensation is grace. Whee! That's the one we are in now. Go. No longer are we beholden to legalistic obedience to the law. Like Paul discovered, I can't keep the law. Jesus, right, Paul? Nobody can. But I did. I didn't sin once, and I am the only one who could write the check, so to speak, for the salvation of these humans. That's why Jesus was innocent on the cross. They should have put all of this together, but they didn't. But for those of you, those of us who can, do you see it? No longer do you have to obey all the rules. You can't. It was designed by God so that you see these 613 and go, I can't do this. And God says, that's right. Every other religion is do this, don't do that, got it, all right. And it's up to you to ascend the ladder of righteousness. Do you see it? Biblical Christianity is the only opportunity, the only system where God has shown you what his righteousness looks like. I can't do this, and I can't think about doing it either. Biblical Christianity is the only option that says God has to come to my level and save me. Does that make sense? That's what the law was about. No one can keep the law. Jesus did. He then pays for all sin. Now, what about this grace? Don't worry about those laws because you can't keep them. Don't throw them out either, because if you can live according to the spirit of those laws, your life is going to work out. The Holy Spirit's universal conviction of sin, righteousness, judgment to come. Also, the Holy Spirit fills, leads, and empowers a believer. What's the condition? It's pretty simple. Believe it. Receive Jesus' finished work on the cross. That's all. What's the response? Well, belief is going to get you grace. But still, how many people reject this simple gospel? What's the result? Heaven for believers, but non-believers, eternal separation and judgment. That's the dispensation we are in right now. Is there another one coming? Yep, glad you asked. It's dispensation number 7. Hey, God's number of completion. This is the kingdom. This is the millennial reign of Jesus. By the way, how many years does it last? 1,000. You guys are great students. Go. What about this kingdom? It's also known as the Davidic or King David covenant. What's that? Hey, King David, there's going to be a king that's going to be descended right from you that will rule and reign forever. We know that that was prophetic of Jesus. Well, when does he do that? That happened in 2 Samuel chapter 7. But what is it? It is Jesus' millennial or 1,000-year reign on earth. Earth is restored to Eden-like perfection. New-bodied believers, which we just read about, we are going to be the extensions of Jesus' perfect administration. When we rule and reign with Christ does not mean in front of the millennial reign. Some people take those verses and say, you should have dominion over everything. After all, you're supposed to be ruling and reigning. Whoa, 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 big fella. Ruling and reigning is in your brand new body, by the way, your resurrected body, like Adam, before he ate, will have no ability to conceptualize sin anymore. That's the body you're going to live with the Lord forever. So new body believers for the next 1,000 years, that's what Revelation 20 was saying. We are going to be the extensions of Jesus' perfect administration on the whole planet. Oh, and by the way, Israel or human Israel, that's their conversion. What happens? You can read about that in Ezekiel chapter 46 and following. Israel is restored, and finally, they are priests to the whole world. They were supposed to be in that occupation even before all of this, but they couldn't do it. And so then God had to, instead of 12 tribes of priests, he could only then elect one tribe, the tribe of Levi. But in the millennial reign, human Israel, everybody's going to be grabbing the hem of their garment, tell me, teach me, and they will, as high priestly people for all the human nations. What's the condition in the millennial reign? Easy. Do what Jesus, who's living on the planet, do what he says. Obey the king. Response? Most. Because when Lucifer is let out at the end of that 1,000 years, let's read about that here in just a second. I'll give you the hint, though. Most of the humans alive in a reconstituted earth are going to follow Lucifer again. Astounding. And that's why we need a great white throne judgment in Lake of Fire. Now, I want you to see this. Hit the go button, Chris. There's your 7 dispensations. Please notice along with me. Remember how we started? In innocence. Hit the go button. I'm going to read you some details in a minute, and you're going to see that planet Earth is restored back to Eden. I want you to notice we've come full circle. I want you to notice that God is trying to get the humans to see something. Hey, humans, how many of you think you can drive your life just perfectly without me? Humans, I got this. God has given humankind 7 opportunities and economies to try to manage their own life and the life of the planet. How are the humans doing? Even in the millennial reign. Hold your finger here in Revelation. We're going to come back to it. Join me in the Old Testament book of Isaiah, please. I want to show you some descriptions of this beautiful millennial reign. Isaiah chapter 2, please. Let's move quickly if you can. Isaiah chapter 2. Keep your finger there in Revelation chapter 20. Isaiah 2, please. I want to show you. Look at verse 2. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. Here is Isaiah, 700 BC. God gives him a videotape of the millennial reign. Check it out. Verse 2, Isaiah chapter 2. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days, write in your margin, millennial reign, that the mountain of the Lord's house, that would be Mount Zion, an actual mountain, shall be established on the top of the mountains. Oh, you mean higher than Everest? No. Some of the descriptions of what goes on in the 7-year tribulation in Revelation chapter 16 in some other location describes an earthquake so powerful that the fish in the sea get seasick, the birds in the air get air sick, and not one human structure wall is left standing. All the islands disappear. Our Hawaii people, just saying. How big of an earthquake is that? I believe it is the Lord restructuring planet Earth back to probably one continent. Can't say for sure, but potentially. And when it all shakes down, there will be no Everest. It had been shaken down to a sort of median layer or altitude. But the mountain that does become the highest on the whole planet will be Mount Zion, or the millennial temple of Jesus. You can read about in Ezekiel 46 and following. That's what he means. Shall be established on top of all the mountains, Mount Zion, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. Jesus is living on the planet in his millennial reign temple. Verse 3, there in Jerusalem. Verse 3, many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God at Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and he surely will. And he shall walk in his path, we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion, Jerusalem, shall go forth the law, Jesus, on the planet. And the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Make sure you circle that. Not New York City, not Los Angeles, Jerusalem. Verse 4, he shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. By the way, I've been collecting verses for years, and I'm up over 60 verses that describe the millennial reign. And one of them is judgment, or I should say justice happens immediately. Somebody breaks a law, probably we in our new body believers, or as new bodied believers, we saw it, and immediate and perfect justice happens within seconds. No more judicial system that we're sort of used to. And so, verse 4, he shall judge between nations, rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into what? Plowshares. And their spears into pruning hooks. And nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. How cool is that? Hey, does that ring a bell? Yeah, I got to show you this. Go ahead, Chris. This is the United Nations. They broke ground in 1948. They finished it in 1952. $600 million. Guess who paid for most of it? But I digress. Let's go inside. Go. Pretty huge hall. There it is. That's the inside. All the nations of the world are represented there. Go. Let's go back outside. There it is. The United Nations. Guess what's out in front? The statue. Go. This is a statue by Evgeny Vucevic. He's a Russian sculptor, and it's called beating their swords into plowshares. That's what he's doing. It's in front of the UN. Oh, cool. Go. And they got this, the verse you just read. They shall beat their swords into plowshares. How many of you are seeing that? Nice try, UN. But could the humans ever pull this off? No. Only the Prince of Peace can do that with Lucifer being bound for 1,000 years. Leave that up for a second. Are you in Isaiah 2? Now go to Isaiah chapter 11. Let me show you more about this millennial reign. Isaiah chapter 11, a little more to the story. Isaiah 11, chapter 11, verse 6. In this millennial reign, check it out, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Hey, what do wolves love to eat? What's in their freezer, the most freezer, what do they have? Well, lamb stuff, lamb stew. Wolf will also dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion, and the fasting and the fatling together, and a little child is going to lead them. Your kids are going to be playing with the lions. And the cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like an ox. Why? Did you know that before the flood, certainly during the time of Adam and Eve, did you know that the animals never went Discovery Channel on the other animals? Did you know that? As I said to the Wednesday night crowd, if you watch the Discovery Channel, there's the leopard, and he's going after this little gazelle, and you're all, go, gazelle, go. And then usually the producer is somewhat sort of tactful, so he captures a scene where they disappear behind a bush in a cloud of dust. Beat. Out comes the leopard with his muzzle full of blood. You're all, oh, goodness. And then there's the narrator. It's just nature's way. No, it is not. And it never was. Animals didn't start eating other animals until after sin. In the millennial reign, all animals are going to be herbivores. Verse 8, the nursing child shall play in the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand, oh no, in the viper's den. Why? Is that startling to us now? Because of venom. There won't be any venom, won't be any need for it. Verse 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of God, just like waters cover the sea. Who's going to be the Bible teachers? Raise your hand. You are in your new body with your mind fully expanded. You will have a grasp of the Bible like you have never enjoyed here under the sun. We are going to be spread out in and among the humans teaching the Bible all the time. How many of you would love a Bible study every day with a really good Bible teacher? It's going to be you. One last place, Isaiah 65, please. We're almost done. Isaiah 65, please. Isaiah 65, look at verse 18. Isaiah 65, verses 18 through 25. More videotape of this beautiful millennial reign. In fact, hit our go button if you would, Chris. This is a beautiful painting I found. Look at that. Whoo! That day's coming, you guys. As that is up, let's read verse 18, Isaiah 65. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I'm going to create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. Right? Millennial reign. By the way, how long does that millennial reign last again? What was it? 1,000 years. Verse 19. I will rejoice in Jerusalem. Jesus is happy to be among his people. And the joy in my people, that would be the Jewish people, Israel, human Israel. Because what are they doing? They're teaching everybody God's word. And they're showing them how awesome the Messiah is alongside us, brand new bodied believers. And voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, Jerusalem, nor the voice of crying. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days. In Eden, was there any death? No. And evidently, the New Jerusalem, pardon me, the millennial reign restored Eden. Death will be a rare and curious event. No more, verse 20, shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who was not fulfilled in his days. What do you mean? For the child shall die 100 years old. And in another location, when someone does die at 100, the rest of the humans will go, what a tragedy. They were just a kid. Are you sure? Watch this. But the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And it would seem that there are still going to be people, humans, in the millennial reign who are going to act up. And it would appear that potentially, this could refer to maybe capital punishment in the millennial reign. Let that one sort of settle in. How perfect is it? Perfect. One of the big reasons? Lucifer is not among the people. Cool. God's word is flooding the planet like an ocean. It's everywhere. And there will still be some who are going to do bad things. And if it's bad enough, it would seem that there is capital punishment in the millennial reign. Verse 21. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and they shall eat the fruit, big fruit, grapes the size of basketballs, I'm pretty sure. No onions and no okra is going to be there too. Just saying. Verse 22. They shall not build another inhabits. In other words, no wars. They shall not plant and another eat. And for as the days of a tree, so shall the days of my people. In other words, people are going to be living again, probably close to 1,000 years, like they did before the flood. It seems that God restores the canopy of water that protects the surface of the earth from radiation coming in from out of the planet, which is one of the reasons why we age, by the way. And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands, and they shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble, for they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. Now back to the book of Revelation chapter 20, and we're going to finish the story. Hit our go button if you would. This is helpful, I pray, for me, and I pray that it's helpful for you. There's another map of eternity. Eternity past, in front of Genesis 1 verse 1. Eternity forever and ever, the new Jerusalem and following. Let me show you this. Go. Genesis 1, God created the heavens and the earth, and on day 6, you created Adam. Now, some of you are saying, the earth isn't 6,000 years old. There's plenty of science. We have many teachings on that. Planet Earth cannot possibly be millions of years ago, let alone billions, and it cannot be hundreds of thousands of years old. We've got teachings on it. But for the sake of illustration, let's take God at his word. And from Adam to Abraham, you can read about Adam lived so long, and then he had his son, and that son lived so long. Genesis 5, Genesis 11, and you find out that from Adam to Abraham is about 2,000 years. Go. From Abraham to Jesus, about 2,000 years. What's the year? The year 2025, Anno Domini, which used to be Latin for the year of our Lord. Can't say that anymore. You got to say Common Era. But how long ago was Jesus born and so on? About 2,000 years ago. There's a reason I believe that we're 2,000 plus, but not the time for it today. So let's call it, go, 2,000 years from Jesus until the present. This last 2,000 years is the age of the church. Why? Because Israel forfeited her job because they rejected Jesus on Palm Sunday. Is God done with Israel? No. He's going to bring them back. What happens next? Go. The rapture of the church takes the church out. God returns his prophetic attention back to the Jews. Go. There's your 7-year great tribulation, at the end of which Lucifer is bound, we just read it, for 1,000 years. Go, and that's the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. Back to Revelation chapter 20. Let's pick the verse. Let's pick up the story at verse 7. Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison, the abuso, and will go out to deceive the nations which are at the four corners of the earth. What has the four corners of the earth been living? Restored Eden. I read you a bunch of verses. It's perfect. What will be Lucifer's line of reasoning? That Jesus is a real crumb, right? And you're like, let's see. Perfect weather, perfect relationship, perfect justice. There's light and sound like I've never heard before. Jesus on the planet. How could you complain? Also, and parenthetically, look silly on these people. Let's watch. And we'll go out to deceive the nations which are at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, more specifically the demons that wrestled up the book of Revelation stuff the first time, are going to get right back at it to gather together them together for battle. Well, it won't be very many humans, right? Whose number is as the what? Sands of the sea. How is that even possible? Now, before you cluck your tongue at these knuckleheads, are you open, Harvest, that you and I have a little of this in us right now? What? I came to church today, Pastor Steve. I know. By the way, that idea of you to come to church today did not originate with you. It came from him, and you finally relented, and you came. Here's the point. In humankind, and myself included, there is a strong desire and potential to grab the steering wheel from God, and I'm going to drive myself. Even when your environment is perfect. Parenthetically, before you cluck your tongue at these knuckleheads, are you willing to see that no matter what God gives me, I can complain against it? Don't look at your spouse right now, but do you hear what I'm talking about? We're pretty sure they're the reason. Or that's the reason. Or my job or lack thereof. That's why I don't have the fruit of the Spirit. Hold on now. Whose responsibility is it for you to walk in the fullness of the Spirit, Pastor? In fact, if I'm not walking in the Spirit, I don't have love, joy, peace. It's your fault. I should probably try another church. Whose responsibility? You better put your hand up. Mine. Do you see it here? In every human being, even in perfect environmental circumstances, if I'm not saying, not my will, but yours be done, Lord, I too can be led along and be like the numbers as the sand of the sea. Verse 9. They went up, all these humans went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints in the beloved city there around Jerusalem. They're going to fight him. Go get Jesus. He's a crumb. He's perfect. And a fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. That's the eternal hell. And brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. They got chunked in there 1,000 years ago. And they will be tormented day and night forever. Verse 11. And then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it. Guess who's sitting on the throne? It's not Saint Peter. It's Jesus. And can anybody say, Jesus, you didn't know what it was like here on planet Earth. What would Jesus say? Yes, I do. Excuse me? Good. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, Jesus, from whose face earth and the heavens fled away. Peter talks about that. It's going to be condensed and changed again by an intense heat. And there was found no place for them. Verse 12. And then I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to the works by the things that were written in the books. And the sea, that's not the ocean, right in your margin here, Isaiah 57, verse 20. The wicked are like a troubled sea. These are all the humanities, those that were living at this time. And there is the resurrection of Hitler and all the terrible people, Cain. They get resurrected too. And they're standing there. And the sea gave up the dead that were in them. Death and hell, there's your Abuso and Hades, delivered up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his work. And then death and Hades. Hades is the temporary holding place that Luke 16 describes. Were cast into the lake of fire. That's the eternal hell. This is the second death. What is death? Is it a ceasing? Nope. It's a what? A separation. Adam and Eve were separated from a holy God and to a large degree separated from themselves. There's going to come one final separation of anything that was done evil. And people, no matter what God did, are all, no. Hit our go button, Chris. This is Judgment Day. That's what we're reading about. Hey, 2,000 plus 2,000 plus 2,000 plus 1,000 is how many thousands? Doesn't the Bible say with the Lord a day is as a 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a... How many of you read Genesis 1 and then God worked 6 days and he did what the seventh? Why, because God needed a Gatorade? No, it was a pattern. You work and travail for how many days? And on the seventh day you... Is that helpful harvest? Let's all stand together. Every head down and eyes closed for a quick moment. Is there a nation on this planet by the name of Israel? Yes. Did you know that that was a prophecy? When they came back from the scattering all over the planet since 70 AD in the Romans, did Israel become a nation in one day? Yes. Did you know that? Is Isaiah chapter 66 verse 8. Harvest, your God knows your future. He is saying today with pleading heart, why don't you trust me? No matter if your days are challenging, no matter if your giants are particularly horrifying and frightful, God says, here, grab the hem of my garment. Get into my Bible, word, worship, pray, and fellowship every day, and you're going to make it. Have you given your heart to the one who created the timeline in the first place? Do you believe that God's word is not originating from humans? Are you seeing that Old and New Testament are dovetailing together into one crucial and beautiful story? The story, hey, humans, you think you can manage your own life? Yes. Hey, let me give you 7 dispensations. And that's why on Judgment Day, everyone, including Lucifer himself, will say, God, you were, say it with me, right. And I believe you. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. If you are not a believer and you've shoved aside Jesus' resurrected body, you're going to say it, but it will be as you descend into total and complete and eternal separation. Or you're going to say with a rejoicing, you are my Lord and Savior. I pray today you make it certain. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Your death on the cross was to pay for all of that sin. I get it now. Your innocent blood did pay for my sin. The animals were a model. I give you all of my life and my heart. Please write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus' name, and now everybody said, Amen. Amen. Amen.